punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. -91 degrees outside, humidity's at 44, winds out of the south at 9 miles an hour, and I'm pretty sure, haven't been out in a little bit, but it's muggy. Am I right? It's muggy. Anyway, so, anybody got any questions or anything today, you can text into the KECO Ag text line at 225-9697, 580-225-9697. Also, you got any farmers markets or fruit stands, vegetable stands going on this weekend, text it in to me because I'm going to announce it today. And we're streaming Facebook Live. And we also got the, if you're out of the listening area and you want to listen to the show, go to Paragon Communications. Get that Paragon Communications app on your app store, on your iPhone, or even your Android. Get that. Or if you can't listen to it today and you're too busy eating, packing your mouth full of lunch like somebody, Bill Dance, I think is his name over there in the Delhi area. But if you're packing your mouth full of lunch and you don't want to listen to the show, you can also go to KECOFM.com and download the or go to the on-air tab it, go to Today in Ag, and every one of my shows are on there. So you can listen to it there and have fun listening to it. Also, guess what day it is? It is the new Penny News, my favorite thing. And if you'll open up there to page 4, there's a 2 pages in there called Today in Ag. And you'll see my ugly mug and my beautiful wife's mug. I screwed that up, didn't I? Anyway, face, my beautiful wife's face in there. And happy 5th anniversary to you today, honey. It's our 5th anniversary today. And we got all my sponsors are on these 2 pages. Also, they're on our radio show. Hobart Stockyards, Elk City Farmers Union Co-op, the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Great Plains Bank, B&L Red Angus out of Putnam, Canucks and Irrigation out of Yukon, Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, Elk City Livestock Auction. Thank you for being a sponsor on my show. And everything, the new reports, cattle sales reports from all their deals is in there. It's great 2 pages. Jerry Nine with the Woodward Livestock Auctions in there. Actually, he's got a pretty good little read in here for a joke. He said last week after the sale, he was headed back home. I stopped at one of my pastures to check my cow's water. There's also a pond there, and there was 5 women skinny dipping in my pond. It was very evident because all their clothes were on the bank. He said, I cleared my throat to make sure they knew I was there. One of them shouted, we are not coming out till you leave. I said, that's fine. I'm just here to feed the water moccasins. I thought that was pretty funny. So pick up your the new edition of the Penny News today. It's a great paper. We got to go to the store and get ours because I don't even have any leftover ones here. But I got a little article to read you that was happening in Washington yesterday. Competition in the meat sector was on center stage in Washington, D.C. yesterday. The same day, the House Agriculture Committee tackled the topic of the state of the beef industry and beef supply chain issues during a hearing. The Senate committee put the meatpacking industry in the hot seat on the Capitol Hill yesterday. Wednesday's meeting, called Beefing Up Competition, examines America's food supply chain. Follows a hearing last month in front of the Senate Ag Committee. At that time, leaders got input from cattle producers and industry groups about the supply chain and concerns of the lack of transparency, but no one from the meatpacking sector took part. Well, yesterday, they were there. And they had representatives from the producers, meat packers, and grocers. Iowa Cattlemen Association was there. Farmers Union, National Farmers Union was there. Tyson Food Groups, JBS USA was there. Associated Wholesalers Groceries was there. And the Consumer Reports Senior Policy Council was there. The hearing marked the first time any of the four meatpacking companies, which included JBS, Tyson, Cargill, and National Beef, had a chance to defend their practices on Capitol Hill this year. But that didn't stop senators and others from grilling the meatpackers' representatives from JBS USA and Tyson Foods Group, who joined the hearing virtually. Mr. Miller, Iowa cattle producers, tell me during the first week of May this year, Tyson wasn't buying cattle from independent producers, said Senator Grassley from Iowa, ranking member of the Senate Judiciary Committee. With so few players in the market, this gives producers limited options, noted in Mr. Shebeens testimony. And according to the data from the National Daily Cattle and Beef Summary Report from the USDA Agriculture Marketing Service on May 10th of this year, the choice box beef cutout was valued at $309 per hundredweight. At the same time, cattle producers struggled to break even. How do you justify making such low bids when you're turning a significant profit? We depend on independent cattle operations of all sizes, he said, and we can't do this without all of them, Shane Miller of Tyson Foods. I don't know the specific date you're referencing, May, what we are doing in the marketplace that day versus another day, but what we pay Iowa cattle feeders truly depends on the market conditions. But how they end up deciding to sell their cattle rather than to, they want to negotiate or put them on an AMA is totally up to them. So they got grilled pretty hard in Washington yesterday. And Senator Grassley also made clear his concerns over what he's seen as anti-competitive practices. He says that the four meat packers control 80% of the cattle market today and hold a tremendous amount of market power. He also said independent cattle producers in Iowa and across the country need a free and fair market. The North American Meat Institute, which represents the meatpacking industry, also submitted testimony to the hearing, saying when it comes to talk about concentration in the industry, the four firm packer concentration ratio for feed cattle slaughter has not changed in more than 25 years. He said that the four packers control 85% of the production in the U.S., and he said it's also a misleading exaggeration. He said this number's more like 70%. The group also continues to say market fundamentals drive the cattle and the beef markets. So I'm not going to give you an opinion on that. I'm just reporting what was done yesterday. But in the KECO Ag Red Room today, I got three gentlemen in here. Cody Chance and Gary Vignal of the Vignal Thurman Centennial Farms up Custer County, right? Custer County, because I want to say False Lake, but is it Butler or is it Hammond? What do you guys?
We go by Hammond.
Hammond. Okay, they're in the house, and when we get back after this break, we're going to get into some cattle, grass, irrigation, and Gary's got the croups today with the allergies, and I feel his pain because I had to take a pill a couple hours ago. But anyway, it's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, July 26th. 19.99 head were sold. Six head of steers at 413 brought 195. Seven at 491 brought 176. 14 at 633 brought 174. 36 at 779 brought 156. 152 at 924 brought 146. Six head of heifers at 502 brought 139. 10 at 605 brought 147. 65 at 659 brought 155.50. 11 at 664 brought 138. 29 at 894 brought 137. Butcher cows were 30 to 86. Bred cows 800 to 1250. Butcher bulls 92 to 110. Pairs brought 1285. So we Western Oklahoma the, Livestock Auction, I-40 exit 71 in Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
All right, welcome back. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. And in the ag room today, I got Gary, Chance, and Cody Vignal from the Vignal Thurman Farms out of Hammond, Oklahoma, Custer County. They're north of us. We know you're north of us, right?
Wow.
I see him at the golf course all the time, so got to make sure I got my directions right. Well, welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Is it hot outside?
Yeah.
Very.
All right.
Sticky.
A little humid.
Well, Gary, let's start with the old man.
That's what they call me now, and I never thought that I'd be in that position, but here I am.
How old are you, if you don't mind?
I'm 66.
Oh, you're a little bit older than me. Not much. So, but the tell us where you were born and raised.
I was born in Clinton, Oklahoma, and raised in Hammond, right where we're basically living right now, taking care of the farm.
So you ain't moved very far.
No, we lived at Sayre for quite a while, and we've moved back home. I moved home to die.
Right.
That's what I always tell people, you move home to die.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe that's why they call you the old man,
because
they
know
your days are done. What about you, Chance?
Well, I was born in Weatherford and raised in Sayre, and lived in Sayre all my high school career, and then went to school at UCO in Edmond for a couple years, and then Cody and I moved to Nashville, Tennessee, and we sang country music out there for about...
I didn't know you guys were singers.
5 or 6 years, something like that.
Well, you guys want to sing us a tune?
I didn't bring my guitar. I could have.
Oh,
that's a former life.
Oh, that's a former life?
Yeah. Maybe we'll have to come in again sometime.
So you were down there, what do they call it? Because I've been to Nashville a couple times downtown. They just call that the Strip.
Yeah,
because there's some great people in those bars singing. They're, you know, it's trying to make a living.
Yeah,
there is.
That's my favorite.
A lot of the ones that play downtown are better than the ones that are signed on radio.
You got it.
Most of them,
unfortunately.
Yep, he's got it.
Chance actually does professional karaoke. And if nobody comes up to sing, he just takes off.
I learned something new every day about the people that I've hung around. Well, I'm glad he didn't tell me he was a stripper, male stripper.
I never divulge that kind of information.
Not on air anymore.
Move just a little closer. Yeah. There you go. Sorry. You can pull it out there.
Yeah. Is that better?
Yeah, way better.
Okay.
Cody, what about you? Did you go to born in Weatherford, or where were you
Same
born?
Same thing. Born in Weatherford, and then I graduated from Sayre High School.
Okay.
And then I went to UCO. Chance followed me up there a couple of years later after he graduated. But I have my bachelor's in advertising and public relations from UCO. And have yet to use it.
Oh, yeah. I bet you've used it a little bit in your agriculture.
Yeah. Well, I'm a graphic designer,
right?
And so I design a lot of our stuff and do web design and do a lot of stuff like that. I'd use that a lot in our music career as well,
right?
But no, as far as computer skills, I'm the computer guy in the family.
Oh, because I'm not.
Yeah. If the FSA needs something sent in, mom says, Cody.
There's doctors. There's nurses. There's big executives in my family, and there's 10 kids in my family, and then there's me. And it's not none of the above. But
somebody had to bring up the rear.
I know, that's me. But they,
no, but I was in the oil field for the past 10 years. I flowed wells.
Did you? I'm surprised I didn't run into you.
Yeah, I flowed wells for about everybody, but I was down in West Texas for Felix Energy
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people from around here were down there working for Felix for a long time. Then.
So you know Steve and Ken?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. They're a couple of my best friends. I worked with them at Apache.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
so.
It's a small world. It seems big, but it's a small world.
Well, you know, Steve kept talking about some Cody Bignall, and now it rings because he's talking about down in West Texas, and I don't put it together here. But anyways, well, on with the agriculture show because I'm sure they don't want to hear us talk oil field. That's what the morning's for.
Yeah.
Well, Gary, you guys got, and I'm sorry I haven't got there to visit. I've had too much going on my little operation, and you guys got a wonderful story behind that operation, and it's unique, and I want everybody to listen to it because there's some other people that's got operations similar to yours, but you caught me off guard with 400 acres and the amount of cattle. So tell us a little bit about your land layout.
Well, my parents just recently passed away at the end of last year, real closely together, and just my dad had rented his sister's land up until he could no longer do it anymore. It was the agreement, and so he was losing 960 acres of pasture, and there was just 110 acres of farmland included in that. So when they wanted their land back, we had to figure out an option. And so I was looking for something. So now, because of what we decided to do, was put all of our land that we can in Midland 99. We've increased the cow herd threefold, and we're actually making hay with that also. We just put up nearly 300 bales of grass hay within the last month, and it's already nearly as big as it was. Getting ready for winter is what I'm doing right now.
So you're not hating on this rain?
No. But all that 12 inches of rain that we got, it all went in the ground and it didn't run off.
Oh.
It was wonderful. And the grass, when we started cutting the hay, I'm 6'2", and the grass was at the middle of my thigh when I'd raise it up. That's how tall
I got
it was.
Some pictures from him.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was up in the grill of your pickup.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
This is Bermuda grass.
Yeah.
It's so unbelievable. Yeah, we went from... We basically reduced our acreage by two-thirds and tripled our herd approximately.
It's crazy.
It was all Dad. Dad thought of this, and we had to move quick because when you're losing approximately 1,000 acres out of your operation, those cattle have got to go somewhere.
They either got to go to the sale barn or they got to go to a pasture.
So he moved quick, and we my granddad was still living at the time and talked to him and said, hey, if we're going to keep these cattle, we've got to do something.
Right.
And he talked with some people from up at Hammond, the Flicks, Caleb, Alan Flick, and they gave Dad a lot of great advice, and they were right about what kind of cattle you can run on Midland 99. Go ahead, Dad.
Well, they did. What really got me excited, which I'm even more excited now, was the original story that up there we get a little more rain than they do over at Sayre. And so,
yeah. How about Willow?
You deny that. Well, that covers a wide circle right there, but however, that statement. But they told me that when we get the grass established, they have been able to run one cow and one calf per acre year round. And I thought, that's better than what we've been doing. So after we started getting the grass sprigged over a period of 3 years, three summers, we noticed the production of grass and feed went way up. And then we got to the point where we thought, we'll put it under the center pivot too. So instead of just keeping the cattle out there year-round, we're moving them down to the irrigated land during the summertime and back to the home place, what we call the home place, during the winter. So we are fertilizing the snot out of all of it. We put down 200 pounds of nitrogen in the spring, and that's the reason it got so big. And we just got through putting in a small center pivot next to our big one, which gave us 25 more acres underwater.
So that was a two-tower or three-tower?
It's four, I think, actually.
Four? Okay.
Four extra towers. And since we're running cattle the way we are under irrigation, we're actually able to run about 4 head per acre under that center pivot. And we put down an
That's
extra...
four mama cows.
Yes, not counting their baby calves.
And they can't keep up. They can't keep up with the grass.
So I noticed
a bad problem to have.
I noticed the other day that the grass was starting to turn a little bit yellow, lack of nitrogen.
Right.
So yesterday, Custer City Butler Co-op came over and put an extra 100 pounds on that 142 acres, and I could tell in 6 hours it was already getting darker green. So I'm expecting that to run us. This is an experiment. I'm expecting with irrigation to run way maybe to Thanksgiving on this field right here because of the growth that we're going to have, and then we'll move them back to the home place for winter where the grass is going to be knee-high when we move them in there for winter pasture, and then we'll cake the cattle.
Well, if you're just joining us, it's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO, and I'm Jimmy Clark, and I got Gary, Cody, Chance, Vignall in here of the Vignall Thurman Ranch at Hammond, Custer County, and we're talking Bermuda grass. And I got better at saying that. Remember the first time I said Bermuda grass?
Chance pronounces it totally different. He's got me to say it.
I call it Bermuchi.
That's really something.
I can tell you, we got about 15 or 20 more minutes of having a good time in here. I got the family in here. I don't have the missus in here, or any missuses in here.
Just the Vignall boys.
Just the Vignall boys. Yeah. But anyway, we're going to have a good time. But people are going to learn a little bit, too, of our changing time in agriculture, where it's grasses. One side of the story is you have to have more cattle to make ends meet, but you also got to have more pasture to have more cattle. Mm-hmm. Right. And there's all kinds of different ways of doing it, but the way you guys are doing it, and I know a few other guys that are doing it similar to the way you guys are doing it, but the way you're doing it, I think, is awesome. And, you know, you got that other pivot in, and you don't have cattle under the new pivot.
It's in the same field with the existing pivot.
How many acres are on that field?
There's 142 acres total on that field.
Underwater?
No, there's 117 acres underwater.
With your corners.
And the rest of it is where the corners, where it doesn't reach. So we got 117 acres right now running with baby calves and everything, 300 head under actually 117 acres of water.
So do you guys have horses?
No.
Honk.
We got cake.
We got them trained.
I could take a Walmart sack with rocks out there to mine, and they'll run me over. Yeah. So anyway, but the cowboy way is still around, and I enjoyed it. And I think I'm going to have some cowboys on the radio with me next week.
That'll be fun.
And some little cowgirls.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And I got one of them. I'm not going to say her name because I don't want her to come slap me, but I've been begging this one from Willow. You guys need to bring your whole family because they're all cowboys. I mean, they're just awesome. They're awesome family. No, Jimmy. It ain't happening, Jimmy. You're not interviewing me on the radio, Jimmy. So I'll get them one of these days. But back to your operation. So you got everything under pivot that in that one field, and that's where all your cows are right now. Yep. And your goal is to keep them in there till as late in the fall, early winter as you can.
Right.
And do you need to move them out of there before hunting season or what?
No, we actually border the Washita National Wildlife Refuge, but there's not any serious hunting that concerns us anywhere down there.
Yeah, because they've changed that up a little bit in the last 2 years. But all right, your dry land.
Well, the dry land is all creek bottom land except for just a little bit of we got a little bit of native grass, and then we've got about 25 acres in Plains Bluestem, which is now because of the rain and the fertilizer back earlier, it has headed out and is thick and it's blowing like wheat that's ready to harvest.
Yep.
So I know it gets a little tough in the wintertime, but when you cake them, you know, they'll eat the bark off the trees if you cake them. But this isn't the bark off the trees. This is good stuff, and they love it. They just keep coming back. They've got a variety to choose from. In the winter, they go to it. I noticed the cattle in the evenings, even on that 142 acres, they start on one side and then they go to the right. They follow the fence and they graze all around the pasture.
Opposite of a racetrack.
Yeah, and it's like going down a drain. That's what it is. Our operation is going down the drain.
Well, we're going to take up this grass and cattle and this family-run operation right after this. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
We raise registered Red Angus. We sell bulls, heifers, seed stock quality type. Red Angus offers superior marbling. Docility is probably the biggest selling point for Red Angus, the maternal traits, and some heat tolerance. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus.
BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale at Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Register at LMAauction.com or download the LMA Ringside app. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and we do appreciate it.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5
KDC. You like that?
I love it.
I laugh. I don't
know. He loves to talk about
this guy charged my boss $15 to make that.
Really? Great. I was wondering who the voiceover guy was. He's pretty good.
Yeah. And so, welcome back. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KCO. I've only got two things on the text line, and one of them was from Bill Dance over there south of Sayre in the Dale High area, and he sent me a number one signal. And then this other gentleman texts in, he says, "Hello, I'm an up-and-coming rancher and would like to know your prediction on the cattle sales and would like to also mention the Sayre Farmers Market at the Osonic." All right, well, I got you covered on the Sonic deal and the farmer's market, but on as far as the cattle predictions, I'm not your guy. We got Brandon Hickey at the Elk City and the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. We got Rex down there at the Hobart Stockyards. We got Jerry Nine at the Woodward Livestock Auction. Those are the guys you need to talk to. But I will go tell you this. Since I started doing this show, the feeders have been steadily climbing here the last month. A few pennies at a time. Heifers and steers are all up, but you don't want me predicting. You'll be working part-time up here on the radio show with me to cover your financial debts. But anyway, but I have Gary Chance and Cody Vignal in the Ag studio with me today, and we're having a pretty good time, and we're talking about what they've done with an operation. They was bigger operation, and because of deaths in their family, things had to be split up, and they had to move quickly to reorganize their farming operation, ranching operation with their cattle, or they're going to have to sell some cattle. Well, during the break, Cody started a conversation that was very interesting. Cody, start all over, because what you said is true.
Yeah, I was just talking about there's two different really schools of thought. You know, you can go buy a bunch of more land, you know, and go, you know, have more land payments every year. And a lot of people go that route, which is fine, and have some native grass. But you can't run that many head per acre on that, and you're still having to pay all that. You're still having to pay that land payment every year on the land.
Because you're talking, for the most average in Western Oklahoma, you can run one head for every 10 to 15 acres,
something like that. Yeah. And so we were really forced. I mean, we could have bought some more land, but at the time, we saw the value here and, you know, utilizing what we had already, maximizing it. I think maximizing should be, I mean, that's the key word here in what we're doing with our operation. We're just maximizing what we have. We haven't bought any more land. We put in this other small center pivot, but we're just making sure that even in a drought year, we have water.
Right.
And if you can do that and you have a high-producing, high-yield grass like Midland 99, you can. I mean, we're holding back. I think Dad said he's wanting to hold back all of our heifers again this year. We're going to increase our herd even more this next year because they can't even keep up with I mean, it's unbelievable if you look out there on that quarter where we have the center pivots see so many cattle. I mean, people drive by and can't believe it. Like, something's got to be wrong. These guys don't know what they're doing.
You guys are off of your rockers. I can see it.
They can't keep up. They just really can't. So we're just kind of playing with it right now, trying to get the right number of head to acres there. But we can already tell that we're going to be able to maximize again this
especially
next year.
When you're putting another pivot in there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you guys are lucky. You got water and you got pivots. Mm-hmm. And speaking of that, really the only thing you got going out there is your utility bill, which is you guys are up there and it used to be Kiwash. It's CK now.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right.
Yeah, because we're all about North Fork and CK mm-hmm. and Harmon County. Right. We're all about those farmers co-ops.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it's a whole different operation this year, especially we got new leadership down here at North Fork. Mm-hmm. And he's changed the billing around for farmers and ranchers, because I irrigate, and man, that horsepower charge right up front just hits you hard, but yeah. It's got it spread like fine love now.
Yeah. Yeah, there really is a good leadership team at North Fork now.
That's
a blessing for everybody around here.
Oh, yeah. We had Brent in here, and that's been our most watched conversation, because I had Jimmy Taylor from up Cheyenne and some other people in there early, but I didn't have Facebook.
Yeah.
Live then, and now we've got Facebook Live, and I can't wait to see how many views we get from you guys today, because they're probably going, we got to see this comedy show.
Yeah, they should hear us when we go to commercial.
Yeah, but they can still watch us during commercial, but they just can't hear us.
We probably look funnier than we sound. Yeah.
So on your cattle operation, you guys are running Black Angus?
Yes.
Just straight Black Angus?
Yes.
And do you guys? I know you've kept heifers back.
Uh-huh.
So when you guys wean your calves, if you do, are you taking them to the sale barn, or are you following them all the way through to the feedlots?
No, we're taking them to the sale barn, and right now, after I've seen this year, of course, this was an exceptional year. But the thing about Bermuda grass, even on our dry land, it's slightly sub irrigated. Maybe
right.
We've got two creeks running through our land, so we're blessed with that. Usually we have plenty of water for the cattle. And I forgot now where I was going with that. I sidetracked myself with the creek.
It's all them drugs for your allergies you're on.
Yeah.
Because mine's named Demichloric.
I recently had a 24-foot fiberglass cattle tank that we bought from Mark Collins up at the Lumber Leedy Yumber Yard.
Yeah.
You don't know what I'm talking about.
That's Jim Bonnick.
They brought it out from Pampa and put it together, and we've got it hooked to a solar pump, because one of my big deals is we love CK Energy in North Fork, but if we lose electricity, we got to have a way to water those cattle.
Yes, sir.
Because we got two 12-foot rubber tanks out there that are running on electricity, but then we got this 24-foot tank as a backup. In case electricity isn't there.
There's nothing wrong with that.
So I'm trying to think of every contingency. And ranchers, I'll tell you something I did the other day. I bought enough salt for the cattle to last me about 3 years.
So is this a Jimmy tip of the week?
Yeah, I'm going to give you a tip.
I love it.
Yes.
Go get your stock salt, because the way the supply chain is working right now, they've already told me where I got the salt, that they're already having trouble getting items for the store. So you might want to think about stocking up on stock salt.
Yeah, there's a lot of things going on right now.
That's important. I have stock salt.
If you got water, you got cows, you got to have salt.
Yep.
Except if you're down there in the breaks where I am, it comes naturally through the grass.
It does. I've
got a salt block down there. It's been more dissolved by rains this year than cattle.
Yeah.
So anyway, but do you wean them?
Yes, we do wean them. We just finished. We've got to work them next. We just weaned about 23 head right now that we've let out into a larger pasture, and we're getting ready to work them right away. And we've got a whole bunch of calves we're getting ready to wean. I mean, anybody that looks out there say, those calves are too big. They need to be off of their mamas, and they're right. Yeah. And so we're getting ready to do that, but we've had so many things going on with Cody's wreck and stuff like that. We're just flexible.
Well, I'm just glad he coming in a walker and not in a wheelchair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And because well, we could add some fun in the wheelchair. And
oh yeah.
But anyway, so and I'm glad your recovery is going good.
Thank you.
It seems like you're excited about the way it's going.
I'm ready to get back out there. I can't even go out in this tall grass. I want to just go walk through it.
But yeah, you ain't going through there with that.
There's nothing worse than spending your summer inside.
Hey, so you need to be on that computer figuring out how you guys can be even more successful.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you can probably learn a lot by listening to my show.
Oh, yeah, I'll just tune in every day. You know, that's problem solved.
Problem solved.
But we don't sell any. We used to sell green cabs years ago right off the cow.
Right.
Of course, buyers know what that is. But we were doing it to eliminate stress on us. But now we're weaning the calves a minimum of 60 days before we go to the sale.
That's
and
great.
And some of them longer than that, which means you got to have a lot of pasture to do that with. Right. And so far, we've been blessed. And one of our neighbors who is that buys a lot of livestock, because I never go to the sale ring. I never do.
I go to Hobart because Rex serves you lunch in your chair.
I don't go to the sale ring, but one of our local guys told me, he said, Gary, when your cattle come into the sale barn, he said, they're highly sought after, and I didn't even know that. He said, people say they're our cattle, and they want to buy them. So I didn't even know that was going on until about 2 months ago. That's shocked to me, but pleasant news.
Well, you couldn't tell by your check.
Well, I could tell by the check, but it means there's a little more bidding going on, I suppose, on our cattle. So,
well, if you're just joining us, this is Today in Ag on 96.5 KCO. I'm Jimmy Clark, and I got the Vignal gentleman in our Ag Room today. Gary, Chance, and Cody are in here from the Vignal Thurman Centennial Farms out of Hammond, Oklahoma, up in Custer County. And we're just talking cattle. Everybody, every cattleman, every farmer, everybody has their own way. And so when I got somebody in here, I asked, sounds like some stupid questions because I already know the answer to most of them. But everybody does it different. You know, Jimmy Taylor that was in here 2 or 3 weeks ago on my first week of shows, you know, he switched from weaning cattle and his calves in a pen to fence line weaning them. Their mama's in this pasture and these calves in here, and he said his stress has gone down, sickness has gone down. He said within a few days, those mamas wander off and forget about their babies, and those babies are eating out of that creep feeder and could care less about their mamas now. So do you guys do that?
No, we don't do any of that. We're still doing it. We're still separating them and taking them to another pen.
Right.
And we're getting ready to enlarge our weaning pen because of the amount of calves we're getting ready to put in there. We've got a portable lot that we bought from the place at Cherokee. I asked Bert Hudson what kind of lots he had, and he said, this is the kind to get, so we got that kind. So we're gonna expand the south end of the lot by opening up our portable lots and attaching it until they've got a lot more volume until we get the main part of the weaning and the balling over with.
Right.
And we've had real good luck weaning our calves.
Yeah, like I said, that's what I just got through saying. Everybody has different ways.
Yeah.
And whatever works for that guy, the way it worked, that's because you're the boss. You want to do it your way.
The buck stops with me now.
Well, that just touched on something really good. We didn't recreate the wheel here. We didn't reinvent the wheel. I mean, guys like Bert Hudson were doing this a long time ago, same type of operation we're doing.
Right.
And we've asked, you know, that's what's good about the ag community. You know, people share, and just like your show, it's good to learn things from other people that have success. But people like Bert have helped us a lot, and just other guys that are successful. We just knew by the size of our operation what we had to do something different. So we went and talked to the guys that were doing it and learned. And that's what's so great, that people aren't, you know, well, I don't want to tell my secret, you know.
Oh, yeah. They're still out there, because I've talked to a couple of them. Hey, would you please come on the show and let's talk about your – nope.
Hey, I remembered. I'll plug this guy. I don't make anything off of it, but it's Diamond D. Portable Cattle Corrals out of Cherokee.
Yep.
R.L. Wilson is the man that owns the place.
He
sent me, we've become friends and we talk a lot, and he just sent me a new design that he just designed. It's three large lots in one that folds out like a three-pointed clover.
Triangle?
Clover or something like a three-leaf clover. And he said, I said, the most important thing to me in a set of lots is a lot of gates.
Yes.
And he said, Gary, this one has gates everywhere. And I said, that's why I would want a set of lots. So they got gates. But this thing is a gigantic portable lot that just unfolds to cattle, men, people that have a lot more cattle. It's a great design, so I just thought I'd tell him. He's been really good to us and helped us out.
I think I've seen him in our Penny News before. And
great product.
Gates are everything, because I build all my own lots, and I get gates where you don't even need gates, but I got them.
That's how he does it. That's how Dad does it.
Well, my dad had a philosophy from a long time ago when they didn't feel like they could afford many gates. He said, "We just had climb over and baling wire. That's all we had, and I don't want any more climb over, and I don't want much baling wire, because you can't find baling wire anymore unless you intentionally purchase it."
Yes, yeah, them days are over. So you guys put up a bunch of hay here in the last month.
Yeah.
And so that's off your dry land.
Right.
Correct? And then it's already growing back, you said, and that's where you're going to have your cows probably during the winter, correct? Yep. Mm-hmm. So that's a two-for-one deal.
Yep. Move them close to home, keep them around the house.
That grass is already completely recovered. You can't tell we even swathed it.
It is so big, even right now, that it's starting to lodge, and that means it's going down.
Yeah.
It's so tall, it's starting to lay over right now. Somebody said, "Well, why don't you go out there and cut it again?" Well, I really don't want to, because I don't have that much room to stack that much hay, because the barn is full, and the side of the hill is full, and I'm just going to cake those cows and let them harvest it. I can put it up, but that means I've got to feed a whole lot of round bales in the wintertime.
So you don't put your hay up to sell. You just put it up to feed your own cows. And if you got that much hay, and you had hay left over from the winter, didn't you, I remember?
I've probably got enough hay to last me 3 years right now.
With that many head?
Yeah.
Oh, you're in good shape.
We're very, very blessed.
So what do you got? I know you're going to play golf the rest of the summer. You're going to be in the house. I guess I answered my own question. And I'm not going to ask him what he does. He's a ramrod. So
I'm going to play in that Thursday night scramble over at Sayre tonight.
I'm not. It's my anniversary.
Oh, happy anniversary.
I'm not. So, well, we got a few minutes left. What do you got to tell anybody?
Oh, Chance just pointed at something right there. We've had two people contact me yesterday, said, "Gary, what kind of oilers are you using to keep the flies down on your cattle? Because those cattle aren't hardly switching their tails. They're just out there calm. They're not bunched up in the quarters stomping all the time.
And they're terrible this year."
And so we went to the Amarillo Farm Show a couple of years ago, and we looked with the purpose of finding an oiler so we don't have to spray them and do all that stuff. We settled on Lewis cattle oilers, and they're right here. Mike Nesmith, right here on the west side of town, sells them right across from Steve's Diesel.
I got one.
And we've got eight of them with that many cattle. And they're under – it's just a pleasure to watch them go under that wipe. They can't help but rub on the rubs. The bulls are up there, which is the most important part of the herd, because the flies really go after the bulls. You see them up there rubbing on those chains, getting that insecticide on their back. And it's just a pleasure knowing that that energy is going to beef rather than being sucked out of by a parasite.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've said this numerous times on the show, and if your cows are busy fighting flies, they're not eating.
Yep.
And if they're happy and they're eating, their production is better. Their milk production is better. Your calf production is better. Yep. And it just makes a world of difference, because I drove down the road, and this looks like black hornet's nest those cattle.
Yep.
Even the black cattle, you can see it.
And well, we've...
Drew's in the house.
What's up, Drew?
My philosophy was, I want to simplify everything and take... That's the reason we're not putting the plow in the ground anymore. And I said, if this doesn't work, grass and cattle... It's done. It's over.
Well, I can tell by the look on you guys' face that it's working, because you're in here with a smile. So, I mean, you guys are that operation. You guys are wonderful. I mean, God bless you and great thinking.
I want to say one thing, if we've got time, that I said in the interview years ago in 1976. My father-in-law was interviewed. That was Urban Thurman over at Sayre. They ran a dairy. And the High Plains Journal did an interview. I happened to be in the picture as a son-in-law and his daddy. So there was three of us. And he said, "I'm not a dairyman. I just sell milk."
Right.
And I said before to you, I don't consider myself a rancher. I just sell beef.
Right.
I'm not fancy. There's nothing fancy about what we're doing at all. I'm not very technical. I've got a simple idea of what I want. So far, it's working.
Oh, no, it's working great. I mean, go to your place. I've seen is pictures and feedback, but looking at you guys' place, you're doing it right. Because it sounds crazy to have 400 acres. Is it 400 total?
450. 450 total.
And you got 300 cows.
Yeah.
Who would ever dream?
And we're going to try to run 350. We think we can run 350
more. Our diesel bill is nothing. We don't have a diesel bill.
Yeah.
Just what we put in our personal use trucks. There's no diesel bill.
There's no fuel. Your overhead's down. So it's going to take a while for it to catch up. Because, I mean, you got to have the money to buy more cattle, and
we're raising all of our cattle. We're not buying anything,
right? Yeah. So, but you're losing out on your cattle sales there.
Sure,
but
sure.
So you got costs there, and then you got the cost of putting the grass back in. I almost said Bermuda. Bermucci.
You got it.
So, but what you're doing is great. And if anybody wants to call and talk to you and just ask for advice, because you did.
Yeah.
And or come up and look at your place if you guys want. How will they get a hold of you?
Well, smoke signal. I was raised at Hammond. You can see the smoke signal.
What's your signal?
Probably the easiest way would just call my phone at 580-729-1381. And I'll answer it if it looks like a local call, because I get so many spam calls. Right. I usually save it and block it. But if it looks like it's somebody local, I'll take the call.
If it's serious, they'll text.
Send a text message.
A text always clears the air.
Yeah.
You've been awful quiet during this interview, Chance, and that caught me off guard.
I'm having a hard time breathing in here. There's so much hot air.
I look forward to having you guys on again after you add 50 more head and see your benefits from this four-tower pivot you just put up.
Yep.
Because irrigation fascinates me. Cattle fascinate me. The whole ag industry fascinates me. And I'm learning. I've learned a lot here in a month. And I appreciate you guys coming in, and I hope your throat gets better.
It's not my throat. It's this part of the nose.
You did great, though.
Thank you.
Hope you get better.
Yep.
You look better.
I'm on the mend. I found out if my ankle, the bone of my ankle has survived. I will find out Friday.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So anyway, well, gentlemen, thanks for coming in.
Thank you. We appreciate it. We had fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good time.
Maybe we can get Kerry to bring his guitar next time.
We got to have a song. I'm going to make the back road show with Drew Cobb look bad when you guys are here singing on Today in Ag.
I can do a karaoke day here.
Yeah. Well, thanks again, gentlemen.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
When we're all on the same page, things run smoother, work gets completed faster, life is easier. And that's exactly what advanced technology from Valley does. ICON-X brings all of your pivots together into one manageable network with full remote capabilities, regardless of the brand. Get the most out of your pivots at a fraction of the cost of a full panel upgrade. Valley ICON-X. Any brand of pivot. One connected network. Smart irrigation. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at knutsonirrigation.com.
Once that gets in your blood, you're not going to get it out. Once you are ate up with cattle, farming, agriculture, it's a hard drug to kick. You're putting a crop out there, you're turning your cows out, and watching what you do grow, and watching the things that you take care of, things you care for, move on with their life cycle. Just seeing a result from your hard work. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Oh, that was fun, guys. I hope you enjoyed it. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. Don't forget to go get your new edition of the Penny News. It's a good one. My beautiful wife's in there on the Today in Ag page. But a few things here before we go. I want to remind you, there's a preg check in school happening at Circle 5 School for Cattlemen, August 14th and 15th in Coweta, Oklahoma. 573-208-8125. 573-208-8125. Elk City Livestock Auction will be happening tomorrow. Call Brandon for all your cattle needs, whether buying or selling. Hobart Livestock or Hobart Stockyards. Some of the numbers that came in off of their sale yesterday, pretty good. Steers averaging 456 was bringing up to $201 per hundred weight. Steers weighing up, averaging 745 were bringing up to $1.48.50 per hundred weight or per pound there. We got heifers weighing 755 on the average would brought up to $132 per hundred weight. Cows were bringing averaging 1145 weight, we're bringing 77.50 per hundred weight. Bulls weighing up to 16 or average weight was 1658, we're bringing $1.07 per pound. Corn futures are 7 to 9 cents higher, and soybeans are up to 17 to 20 cents after the USDA expectantly lowered its crop condition ratings Tuesday. Anticipated helping to lift nearby HRS contracts 9 to 13 cents. HRW wheat futures were up 6 to 7 cents. SRW wheat futures are up 2 to 3 cents. The greenback is slightly higher as crude oils as our crude oil futures. We got heat advisories and excessive heat warnings are in effect for the Northern Plains and the Western Corn Belt, and I'm pretty sure they're out here, especially with seeing triple digits here Saturday. But I'm going to give you that rundown on our Long Ranger forecast. Current conditions.
Is that wrong?
No. Oh, I'm sorry. Current conditions is 91. I was going to say 71 degrees, and I was going to call BS on that. 91 degrees. Tomorrow, hot at 97 degrees. Saturday, hot at 100 degrees. Sunday, coming back down to about 89 degrees and 40% chance of rain. Monday, 20% chance of rain with a high 90. So the weather forecast looks really good. Well, we had one text in for any vegetable stands, and that's the one I read earlier. Sarah Farmers Market on Route 66 Farmers Market is what I call it. Is at the old Sonic there at in Sarah on Highway 183. It'll be there. It starts at 8 o'clock and goes till noon or till they're all sold out. Well, I enjoyed today, and that was fun with the Vignal gentlemen. Tomorrow, I got Mr. Jimmy Music in from Music Farms from Sentinel, Oklahoma, down there in Wichita County. He is freshly back from Washington, D.C., and there's going to be some, I don't know if he's got gossip going tomorrow, but probably not. Mr. Music's not a gossiper, I don't think. But anyway, he's going to be here tomorrow, is my guest tomorrow, so you guys need to join in. Well, that's all I got. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. Have a great day, and God bless.
You've been listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Hi, I'm Randy Renner of First Oklahoma Ag. Farmers and ranchers providing input to UN Food Systems Summit. Here's Michael Clements.
As the UN hosts the Food Systems Pre-Summit this week, farmers and ranchers are providing input to achieve the UN Sustainability Development